Blog Talk Radio.
There is no replacement. There is no competition.
God. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you that we can depend on you. We can rely on you. Oh God, you are a God that never fails. A God that never fails. A God that never leaves us or forsake us, Lord. We just thank you this morning, this afternoon, that we could come at your table and feast at the best, on the best of what you have to give for us, oh God. Because you only give us the best. We ask you today, Lord, that you bless your servant as she opened her mouth to speak, her eyes to see and her ears to hear, Lord. We ask that you bless her to speak your word, oh God, your infallible truth, oh God, to us, your people. That as the word go to the north, the south, the east, and the west, oh God, that it will not return void, oh God. It would accomplish what you sent it to do this day. Father, bless the four corners of the earth today as it is prepared to receive the sounding of your word today. Oh, Father, we just pray today, Lord, that you bless those that are coming on right now. God, bless the minister, Badmus, you know, the Deacon Fraser, Lord God. Lord, bless all those that are coming right now, those that are listening near and far, oh God, for this word as it comes forth today. And Lord, without any further ado, Lord God, we introduce to all you all this morning, present to all you all this morning, Evangelist Darlene Campbell out of Mississippi, a very strong woman of the Lord. God is using her mightily to declare his truth. So come on in, Evangelist, and allow the Lord to use you on this great day of the Lord. Come on in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
We are thankful to be here this morning. I am thankful. The songwriter wrote, "Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for Jesus Christ, His Son." Say, give thanks. This morning we do give thanks in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, Father in heaven. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We magnify your name, O God, in the name of Jesus. We say thank you. Every day is a day of giving thanks, Lord. As we approach the throne of grace, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we do magnify your name. And Lord, for that, we say thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, that you gave for us for a perpetuation of our sins, who hung, bled, and died, that we may have the right to the tree of life. And Lord, we always thank you in the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the sick and shut in. Pray for those who are here. And Father, we do thank you for God's resurrection power, church in Christ. His wife, God, in the name of Jesus, and his children and grandchildren and extended families, Father. Pray for all of our children, Lord, and all of our extended families. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we do thank you. And we pray and ask these blessings. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have a right to give thanks. And one of the reasons we should give thanks is because the Lord wants us to give thanks. The Lord wants us to be thankful for his providence and for his sovereignty. He wants us to be thankful for allowing his Son, Jesus, to come and take upon our sins and make us whole again. You know, even as I was pondering on that, God is a spirit, and we shall worship him in spirit and in truth. And as I ponder upon that, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, how many of us truly obey our spirit? How many of us are truly governed by our spirit? How many of us are thankful for our spirits in which we have been given by our Heavenly Father? You know, so many times, you know, you'll say something like, you know, I just felt something inside of me or this voice, and it's a spiritual being that is in within you. And how you choose to use it, be directed or governed by it, how you choose to ignore it, it will tell you exactly who you are and whose you are. So one of the scriptures we have this morning, in the name of Jesus, hold on, is 1 Chronicles 29 chapter And in this, we're talking about David. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stone, and glistering stones, and divers colors, all manners of stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. If you'll go with me down to verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. You know, no matter what we have or lack thereof, we should always be in a place. David was saying, David was young, but yet he still didn't stop thanking God, giving him glory, giving him honor, and praising him. So verse 12 in 1 Chronicles 29 says, Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reign over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, he said, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thy own have we given thee. So what David is telling us, everything we got comes from the Lord. He says everything that you have, including the air that we breathe, came from God. So the least we can do is to be thankful. David says, so what I'm giving to you, who am I? Because what I'm giving to you, what I'm offering you, it came from you anyway. It already belongs to you. But because of your sovereignty, your greatness, and because of who you are, you blessed us. So because you blessed us, we're giving it back to you. And how can we give back? Some may say, I don't have riches. Some may say, I don't have silver or gold. Some may say, I don't have houses or land. But you can open your mouth and give him a praise. You can tell him thank you. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I can always tell him, thank you, Lord. He said in verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen my joy, seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. You see, when the leaders don't mind, when we set example, not in just the church, not just the pastors, the apostles, but even in our homes, when we set examples of being cheerful givers, not grudging-heartedly, but giving, that we should take care of the sick. We should offer up to the poor. We should feed the hungry. And one way is to teach our generation is to allow our generation to see what we are doing. Philippians 4 tells us, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eunice, and I beseech Cynthia, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. For he's saying, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whatever you need, God got it. Whatever you asking for, God got it. Everything is from God. Always give him thanks. There is not a single thing we own, not a single thing about who we are that has not been given to us. From the smallest to the least to the greatest, everything that we have belongs to God. So this is what Philippians, Paul is telling us in the book of Philippians. He's letting us know that everything that we have and that we own belongs to the Lord. When we open our mouth and when we give praises, we glorify the Father, which is in heaven. So he said, be careful for nothing. Don't be around here saying, I wish. But in prayer and supplication, James said, we have not because we ask not. He said, we have not because we ask not. Verse 7 saying, the peace of God, which passes all understanding in Philippians 4, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for. And I got a reason. When you woke up this morning, that was a reason to tell the Lord thank you. That I got a reason to say thank you because I still have life. We still have health and strength. If you're listening to me this morning on the radio, that means you're still here. Over 100,000 listeners plus. But you're still here, and you're listening this morning. And that is one reason that we can tell the Lord thank you for. Not because you're listening to me, but because you have your ears and you can hear, your eyes and you can see. Your spirit being is still alive with you, and you're still alive. And that is more than enough to just tell the Lord thank you. Father, we give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. You know, the Israelites, they mumbled, they grumbled, they complained. They did everything but say thank you. Every time they went back, every time God delivered them, every time that they were delivered, every time when God led his people out of Egypt towards the promised land, they spent their time complaining. We can find so many complaints, but we can't find where they were thankful. They were grumbling. They were mumbling. When they were out of food, they were mumbling. Even when Moses brought them out of Egypt, before they can get out of Egypt, and when Moses brought them out of Egypt and Pharaoh was behind them, turned on him, and they said, you brought us here to die? Could have just stayed there and we could have just served Pharaoh. But you brought us out here to die, so what are we going to do? Pharaoh and all his men and his chariots are behind us to kill us. So Moses went and Moses talked to the Lord. And as Moses began to talk to the Lord said to Moses to use what you have. Oftentimes we're just, you know, sometimes I think, including myself, sometimes I think I'm not thankful enough. And I feel like even though sometimes I deserve it, but what is it? What is it that you truly deserve? What is it? He gave us life. He gave us health. He gave us strength. But sometimes we just feel like we deserve more. What is it? Everything that you have came from God. Find a reason to complain. We should be thankful in our prayers. Turn our focus away from ourselves sometimes. Be thankful for our families, our community, our loved ones. And because of his goodness and because of his greatness, because of who he is, Jesus, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, you know, Luke was with him. And there's an important truth about this verse in Luke 17:11-19. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he wants us to know that he was on his way to the cross. And on his way, he travels between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. 10 men who have leprosy here, 10 men came to Jesus and they cried out to him, "Master, have mercy upon us. This leprosy, this disease is horrible. It's deteriorating our skin." You know, back then if they had leprosy, I don't know anything about it, but from what I read and from research, they were not allowed out, but they heard about Jesus and they went to Jesus. And they would say unclean. And they went to Jesus. And when they went to Jesus, as he healed them, and when he had healed them, they left. But only one, the scripture tells us, only one returned to say thank you. And when that one returned to say thank you, Jesus asked the question. He healed 10. Only one person thought enough to say, "Thank you, Lord." So with everything that we have, that one makes a difference. A lot of many people say one doesn't matter, but one does matter. One does count. So when you begin to look at life and know that one does matter, as we approach every day of our life, we should approach our life with thanksgiving. We should approach our life with glory and honor. None of us suffering from the skin disease as they had in leprosy. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. We have confidence through Christ to approach him at any moment, at any time of day." He wants us to come to him. Huh? He wants us to ask him. He wants us to come to him. He said in his word, he said, "Ask me anything that you will in my name, and I will go to the Father for you, that I may be glorified of the Father." So Jesus said, whatever you ask him in his name, he will do it. It don't say I might do it. It don't say if. It say whatever you ask me in my name, I will do it. And if we remember, there's only one mediator between God and man. And that one mediator is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can go to the Father for us on our behalf. We should be thankful for salvation. Huh? Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised his son from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, we would not be redeemed. But we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed, born again, and we should have a reason to say thank you. Our good health is enough to tell the Lord thank you. For it is written, "I would that you would prosper and be in health." So prosperity, he wants us to have prosperity. He wants us to have good health. That is a reason to tell the Lord thank you. He wants us to eat of the fruit of the land. That is the reason to tell the Lord thank you. His creation is a reason to tell the Lord thank you. You know, when I hear the birds chirping early in the morning, even before my eyes come open, I can hear the sound. And the sound of the birds outside singing. And I would just say to myself, I say, oh, wow, listen at them birds singing and praising. But if the robin can say thank you, that's what the songwriter wrote. I didn't say those words. The songwriter said, if the robin can say thank you, you can do it too. Celebrating Jesus Christ, we have this special time that we have set aside to celebrate. But celebrating Jesus should be every day. A celebration of life should be every day. Why? Because God gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We should be thankful for forgiveness of heart. Jesus said, I will remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And because he has given us a heart of flesh, because of his goodness, he has allowed Jesus Christ to do this. And we should be thankful for forgiveness today and every day. Because why? We are free. No shackles, no chains, but we are free. We should be thankful for the hope of today. Hope of our vision, our dreams, or our lives. We have a reason to be thankful. A peace is called and peace. Peace, God gives us that peace, that peace, that no person. I'm thankful for the love. No man lay down his life except we should be thankful for who God is, that he will give his only begotten Son, that he would allow us to have the right to the tree of life. In our hopelessness, he allowed his son Jesus to come to the cross for us, to die and live again, to take upon the sins of us upon his shoulders so that we can have the right to the tree of life. He promised a comforter. We should be thankful for the comforter. He promised a healer. He promised a deliverer. He promised a defender. He promised a strong tower. All these things he promised in a time of need that he will be here for us. And for that, we should be thankful. So everything that you have, you feel like that is negative in your life, you got one reason to be thankful that surpasses all of the negativity that is in your life, all the pessimistic that's in your life. You got one reason, Jesus Christ. Son of a living God. Now and forever. One, Jesus. Nobody can do you like Jesus. So we should thank God for our Redeemer because God gave him to redeem us. We should be thankful in every way. You know, David wrote in the book of Psalms, he said, you want to praise him with everything. Praise him on the harps. Praise him on the psaltery. Praise him on the drum. Praise him on the tambour. Whatever it is, shout praises and be thankful. I give thanks to the Lord this morning for God's resurrection power, church in Christ, and his humble beginning. If it had not been for the Lord, who knows where we will be. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in it. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. All the children of light and the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, that which is good both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. We got a reason to be thankful. And if that quenched not the spirit, remember when we started this message, the Lord gave me that about our spirits. So don't ignore that spirit. The scripture does not say try the spirit by the spirit. But the scripture says, try the spirit and know. It says, try the spirit and know, try it and know. So know the spirit. You say, you know that you know that you know. His word says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. A reason to be thankful. Know the voice of God. Hear his voice. Know his spirit, because his spirit is within you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the word. Word of God for the people of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We magnify you. We give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise for a reason to be thankful, because you, Father, allowed your son Jesus to come to the cross for us, so that we may have the right to the tree of life. With that, Father, we say thank you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen and thank God. Apostle Callender.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Campbell. Thank you for the word of God. Father, we just bless you and praise you, O God, for the word that you allow us to hear on today. We ask you to bless your servant and continue to watch over, continue to lead and guide her into all truth as she travels throughout the day. Lord, send your angel before her that they would direct her path, O God. We just ask today, O God, a blessing to rest upon her life and upon her family's life, her children and grandchildren, all those that are connected to her, Lord. Allow them to see the light that you're shining through your servant, in Jesus' holy name. Thank you so much. I was blessed by the word. I'm going to open the line. There's a lot of people on the line. See, whoever wants to come on in and encourage you for that powerful word. Line is open.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, Apostle.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Evangelist Campbell. I'm just grateful for this word. This is a blessed word. I'm beaming because I understand, you know, what it means to give thanks to God. You know, we can't thank God enough. But your word of encouraging us to thank God, 2 weeks ago, you know, last Sunday, Saturday, I wasn't on the line because Alondra had a camp that she is a part of, and we have to go to certain events that they're having. But the week before that, I had to do an emergency extraction. So this is the same tooth that's been giving me trouble, and what my dentist is trying to do was to save the tooth because it's closest to the front of my mouth. But you have to put an implant, and everything is out of pocket. So in order to get this tooth donor to get it started, I have to have like $800 to give the dentist up front. And with everything that's going to be done, it will cost me out of pocket $5,000, and I don't have that. But 2 weeks ago, I was at work on Wednesday, and my tooth started hurting me. And, you know, every time I heard this, the Father God, Lord Jesus, help me. Wednesday, as I'm driving home, I hear this pop in my ears and in my tooth and this crackling, and I let the wheel go. I almost crashed the car. And my husband was on the line with me, and I'm like, you can't talk to me because I can't focus. Like, it was so hard. And all I kept saying is, Jesus, help me. And Thursday, I went to work in pain, but I said, Jesus, you need to help me. Out of the blue, I found this dentist in Brockton. My dentist is all the way in East Boston. So, Apostle, you know the distance of that. It's like, I live in Mansfield. The dentist is in East Boston. That's like a 45 or an hour hike. And I got to this dentist, and I said, I don't care. Just I need it to be extracted. I need you to pull it out. You know, it's so hurtful. Just shoot it up with Novocaine, whatever, and pull it out. And he pulled it out. And I tell you, my heart of gratitude to God, it's like every day, even now as the tooth is still hurting, I'm still trying to talk well because, you know, I'm missing that tooth. But every second, I'm like, Lord Jesus, thank you. You know, not waking up with the pain and the pressure in behind my eyes, I'm like, Lord Jesus, thank you. And you mentioned something about, you know, God woke us up this morning, you're hearing the birds chirp. And as I'm driving, I'm dropping a lunch to her dad, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, wow, you know, here we are in May, and the trees are still, you know, kind of bare. And I'm talking to my husband, and I said, you know what? I said, we need these trees. We are to be grateful to God that he creates an avenue that we could, you know, breathe out carbon dioxide and receive oxygen. I said, everything in creation is because of God. We are alive because he has placed measures in our life and around us to keep us, to sustain us, and keep us going. So being grateful to God, you know, for me, it's not just being grateful for when things are going well, but I'm so grateful to God even in when things are not going the way I expected. It's going the way he expected. And guess what? From that bad situation that I went through and experienced, I'm learning. Because he says to give thanks in all circumstances, to give him praise and to give him glory, because every situation is a learning moment when it comes to God. God is constantly teaching us. Even your analogy of hearing the birds praising God, God woke them up too. They have another opportunity in this world, and we have opportunities after opportunities to get it right, to serve God, to serve him in spirit and in truth. I always say serving him in spirit is being obedient to what God is asking us to do. Serving him in truth, even though we see what is there in front of our eyes, we're going to still choose to serve him. So I am just grateful for this word. I am thankful for God. I'm thankful for so much stuff, things that I can't even I don't have enough fingers and toes and limbs on my body to give God thanks for what he has done. Even when I am sad and I am crying and I am hurt and I don't know where my end is going to come from or what is going to happen in my life, I said, God, I thank you because you know. Even when my body's in pain and I have this ache in my tooth or whatever the case may be, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need your help. Yesterday, I am exhausted because I'm going through finals and exams and stuff like that, and I said, God, I thank you. just to be able to be at home to work, to rest my eyes when I needed to be rest, and to get back. In every situation, in every circumstance, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's mediocre, whether it's like, I don't know, God, I give you praise. And I thank you. Because without God, I wouldn't be here. Without God, like, it's been 2 years since, almost 2 years. I moved into this building in December of 2020. And every morning I wake up and I give God praise and I thank God. And my voice is crackling right now because when I thank him with tears and gratitude in my heart. Because I know what God has done for me. It might not be what he's done for other people. Other people might look at it and say, oh, girl, there ain't nothing to give thanks for. No, it is everything to give thanks for. Never let people mute you and say, girl, why are you always so grateful? Why are you always so thankful? I am thankful because I know what the Lord has done, and I know where he has brought me from. I know what he has done and how he has covered me, how he has provided for me, how he has provided for my daughter. I know when I would be angry and I would want to flip off. When my sister slapped my daughter, I was on the phone, and it's out of blue, driving to Rhode Island, but I was on the phone with Pastor Washington, Apostle Washington and Apostle Calendar, and they encouraged me to be calm and to let God handle it. And I cried myself as I went up to go do Bible study. But by the time I got home, I didn't have to react and step into my flesh. So I just thank you for this word, and just brought back memories after memories of how I have praised and worshiped God, and that I still can't praise him or thank him enough. But every day I have the opportunity to say thank you, and to show it, I will do it. In Jesus' name. The line is open to anyone else that would like to share or add. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Minister Butmos, and I bless the Lord for you, for your faithfulness. You always keep me abreast of everything that's going on. But we thank God this was a powerful, anointed word, a quick word, but an on-point word. And, you know, she started talking about the Spirit. And if you are thankful, you're grateful for the Spirit. Do you appreciate the Spirit? And if you love what God has done to you, for you. And she talked about John 3:16, how God sent his son. Are you thankful for the son going to the cross and laying down his life so you can have life? I mean, she actually preached a salvation message. And, you know, it was everything in there, but this one that really got me was this last scripture that she used in 1 John 4:1. And it said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Spirits, plural. There's many spirits out there in the world. He says, try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And, you know, that really touched my heart, because, you know, where the Spirit, John is saying that there's many spirits in the world and that many false prophets are going out there, because he said, try the spirits, not the Spirit. The spirits, pure. And he said there are many false prophets going out there. So we have to try them by the word of God, what they are saying, what they are speaking out of their belly. Does it line up with God's word? You know, line up with God's word. So that really touched me. And I was really elated by that, because today people are just, they're hearing stuff and they're getting so excited, because most of the time they're hearing stuff that really, answer to their flesh, to their emotions, and not to their soul. So I thank you for that word. It was just a blessed word. I can't say enough about it. And you talked about Jesus and Jesus giving up his life on the cross, and that when we confess, you know, our sins, you know, Jesus, he heals us, he delivers us, he restores. You talked about healing. You know, when God heals us, are we grateful? Are we thankful? We can only bless, praise Him and be thankful when we have finances, when we have a job, when the husband is acting right, when the wife is acting right. We can only give Him thanks. But how about when things feel bad, like when your tooth is coming out and shaking your skull? You know, you can feel pain from your mouth all the way down to your toes. And with a toothache, you still praise God. Can you still thank Him? Can you still reach out and touch the hem of His garment? You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, you know. And glory to God. I have a problem going on here now in my house. I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I stay transparent. You know, I got a thing with tattoos. I really do have a thing with tattoos. I tell you no lie. And I got one on my hand. It's about close, I would say close to 50 years, this one I have on my left hand. And I did this when I maybe even older than that. I was probably about 18 or 19. So it's got to be over 50 years. But I wouldn't put another tattoo on my body. Because I learned, I didn't know this. You know, after I read the old text, when it say about piercing and marking your skin, cutting your stuff. I don't do that stuff anymore. So I talk to my family about that stuff. But the young people got a thing with them that they're going for everything that they can see and everything they can hear. They're moving with, except the word of God. You know, accept the word of God. And they hear the word of God every day in this house, every day. You know, even when I don't want to speak the word, somebody come on and speak. And even when I don't want to, I speak. But glory to God. I was so upset this morning, I tell you, but I just had to thank God. Because, you know, the message really ministered to me because it could have been worse. And my honey, she got to get up early this morning. Because all night last night, I see the bathroom, the light flashing through the door. And I was wondering what's going on, you know. All through the night, she's getting up, preparing herself, my granddaughter. Getting her hair fixed, doing her. She got to get her hair done, went to the hair salon, and got her hair done, all this stuff. Got her nails done, went to the nail salon. I said, what happened? I got your wife. I said, what happened that you up so early this morning? Where you going? You know, this is the weekend. You don't have to go nowhere. If you're going to your mother, you're going to go there in the afternoon time. What's going on? She just beat him. I got to drop. I said, why you got to drop somebody somewhere so early this morning? She don't want to tell me because she know where I am, you know. And finally, she done with, she got to take somebody to get. And that just messed my spirit completely up. She got a tattoo on her. The back of her right calf, she got one on the back of her left calf, she got one on her arm, she got one on her chest, she got one, on her left arm, one on her right arm, or two on her left, two, and she got a one for her mother's crossing over. I didn't get mad about that, because I keep her reminding me about her mama. But she got a saxophone, she blows a saxophone, and she got a music stand. My God, now she got another one. Them tattoos are better. I said to her, I said, if you can spend all this money buying these tattoos, talk to my wife, then talk to Shamar. I said, why can't you spend that money, give that money to the poor? People are dying. I mean, we in a time now, we in a famine. And poor people are crying out to me in Africa and India. And I can't wait till my Social Security check come here on the 21st so I can send them some money. You know? Because even though I'm getting Social Security, I'm still doing better than they're doing. I said, you're going to get tattoos for $150, $180, $200. Man, I said, I was so mad. I said, you really don't want me to speak because, you know, when I speak, things happen. I said, you don't really want me to speak because I'm so upset. I just got to bite my tongue. I said, I just got to bite my tongue. But I said, Lord, I thank you because she could be out there doing something worse than just putting a tattoo on her hand. You know, you got to see something good, you know, so not to go out, get bent completely out of shape. So this message really touched me. I was just thankful that she's not she's an A-plus student, but these tattoo things are getting to my nerves, I'm telling you the truth. And I need you all to pray with me, pray for me, because it's really been to me. I just can't stand tattoos anymore. You know, I really do. So that was my take on that. But thank you so much, Evangelist Campbell. It just blessed me. It's blessed me like this to thank God, because I mean, she could be out there drinking. She could be smoking. She could be whoring, doing all type of stuff. You know, young people doing that stuff now. They're going to school and they're prostituting themselves. You know, she's working. She's going to school. She's getting good grades. And she's getting ready to, next year she's going to graduate from Lord's, if the Lord's will, with a good health care, something she's doing to do with health, health and medicine and stuff. She's going to graduate in. So we just thank and go. So the Lord said, give thanks. Because I'm looking at the tattoo, and the other people got kids and grandkids that doing bad, serious bad things, you know. And I got something that I can complain about, but I got something that I can praise God for. I can give God thanks for. So thank you so much for blessing me with that word. God bless you. I'm finished. The line is open.
Praise the Lord, Apostle, and family.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
I tell you, Apostle, just listening that, you know, I missed the message this morning. I really missed the message this morning. I turned it on, came on, I closed it right at 12 o'clock. So, you know, I missed just all of the message. But just listening at, you know, about what the message was concerning, it sounds very, very awesome, powerful, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord and how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And once we go deep into thinking about what is believing, we truly understand that believing is more than just saying we believe. You know, believing is an action word. We have to trust and believe what Jesus come to do for us. How did he come down from heaven? The way that he came down and legal upon this earth and was born upon this earth, just like we was born upon this earth, except he came through a virgin. It was a miraculous birth, but it was a purpose for God coming in the flesh. And that's who Jesus was, God in the flesh, reconciling the world back into himself. And God in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. And, you know, that's so powerful in itself to know who he is and how that he come with this name that came down from heaven that, you know, some of us take a little lightly. You know, I think that's because some of us don't really understand the power and authority that's truly in this name and why the name had to come down from heaven. Not only that, but, you know, so I really missed the message. I was listening at a minister, Andura, and she was talking about the pain that she had from that toothache, you know. And, you know, I've had toothaches, and I know how that feels. And, Apostle, you said they hurt, you know, from your gums right there to your feet, but all up in your head and in your ear and all of that. Oh, my God, I tell you, toothaches is nothing nice. But I used to have, it used to feel like toothaches in the eye, you know, because, of course, I had about four or five operations where my eyes were taken out of my head, you know, the left eye and the right eye were taken out of my head, and plastic lens was put behind my eyes. And the reason why was because if they would have just given me glasses, and I had glasses, but the glasses was as thick as the Coke bottle, you know, the bottom of a Coke bottle. You know how thick that is, you know, to try to help me to see. And so rather than to have that look, you know, to continue to have those thick glasses like that, and you know when you're wearing thick glasses like that, Apostle, it right between your eyes and your nose, that heavy glass, eyeglass, it sits right on your nose and it sort of pinches your nose in and causes you to look different. It starts your face to look disfigured and what have you, your nose to look disfigured. But so what they did, they operated on me and put the lens, instead of contact lens, they put the lens behind my eye. So they had to take the eye out to do that. And really, I believe in those days, they was really experimenting. They really was experimenting with me. I really believe that, you know. And so one time they operated on me and they forgot the lens somewhere else. And so they had to use, another lens in the place of the lens. It was close to the way that the lens would be, but it was not exactly. And I mean, you know, when you're dealing with your eyes, everything has got to be so exact when you're dealing with your eyes. And they put the wrong lens in and different things like that. But, you know, I was able to see. I was able to see 20/20. Each time they did the operation, I came back out seeing 20/20. Even after taking the eyes back out and reattaching them into my head and all that, I was seeing 20/20 each time of those operations, you know. And some of the times I went blind where I didn't see nothing, and but the sight would come back again and different things like that. But nevertheless, one time, it just went away and it didn't come back. But I give God the glory, honor, and the praise because I was constantly being prepared through that, all of that that was happening. Each time I was, you know, it was sort of being prepared because I was sometime without my sight and sometime I had sight. Sometime I had a little sight, sometime I had no sight. And it just got to the point that when all of my sight went, it was like, you know, it shocked me the way that it happened because I just woke up one morning and all of a sudden there it was. I couldn't see. Everything was black. And that's what shocked me because I went to bed seeing and woke up not seeing. And it took me by surprise because when I woke up, it was almost like I was in some type of nightmare, you know, because everything was black. But yet I felt like I was woke, and I was woke. But I thought it was one of those nightmares you might have where you think you're woke, but you're not woke. And everything was just black. And so, but I felt so woke. And I was, like, trying to come out of it, like, you know, you wake up and then all of a sudden, bam, you wake up and all of a sudden you could see real good because it was a nightmare. But I wasn't coming out, and it was scaring me so bad. I thought I had crossed over maybe an automobile accident or something. Something had happened real fast that, that I was crossing over, but I was going through this time of blackness. After crossing over, going through this time of blackness, and then eventually perhaps would come out and be able to see, in the new life, you know, after death, or the life after death. And so I thought I was going through that time, and it was such a scary and a horrible time. And all of a sudden, you know, my air condition kicked off. And I know the sound of that air conditioning. And when that air conditioning kicked off, I said, wait a minute. I'm not going through a nightmare. I am actually woke. You know, and this is the sound of my air conditioning. Wow, I can't see it. I really can't see. I'm blind, you know. And so, but that wasn't the first time I had been blind and was able to see it again. But that was the first time it happened like that. In a nightmare, so to say, you know, and then wake up and, you know, went to bed seeing and woke up and couldn't see. That was the shocking thing. But eventually, you know, I talked to my wife and, I was telling her, I call her Bay, short for baby, you know. I said, Bay, I'm blind. I said, I really can't see this morning. And, you know, she said, you can't see, you know. But anyway, and my sight never returned since that day right there. But, you know, I grew into being the way I am. But I've always trusted God that God is able because anytime he put that sun in the sky, you know, and night come up at night and then the day come up in the daytime, you know, the stars in the sky and all that. And he called every last star of them by name. And since I had been in the Bible, since I had been young, you know, a lot of things I knew about the Bible. Sometimes I don't know exactly where, you know, certain things add in the Bible, but I know what it's saying. I know when I'm hearing Bible and when I'm not hearing Bible. But anyway, I said all of that to say this, that during the time when I was going through with my eyes, and after some of those operations, the pain would be so severe, it felt like I had a toothache in the eye. So you know what a toothache feel like. You know how it hurt. Well, this was like a toothache in the eye. You really can't talk. You know, the pain be so severe, you can't talk. And one time, the pain was so severe, and my wife rushed me to the hospital. And one of the doctors that didn't know my condition, he just was trying to ask me what was wrong and, you know, what was happening and what was I going through. You know, he was saying, what's the matter? Well, you know, where you hurting at? Where, you know, it was things he was asking me. I could hear him, but I couldn't answer him because of the pain. The pain was hurting so bad, like a toothache, but it was worse than a toothache, much worse than a toothache. It was like a toothache in the eye. And, you know, all I could do is go, I was trying to talk, but I couldn't. I couldn't get no words out. And then another doctor came in who knew what I was going through. I think he was in that operation room when I had some of those operations. He came in and said, "Listen, he can't tell you. He can't tell you what's going on. He's in too much pain." And something they gave me sweet to drink. I don't know what it was. And they gave me a shot, and that knocked that pain out. Whatever the shot was, it knocked the pain out. And whatever that was sweet that they gave me to drink, you know, it, like I said, that pain went away. As bad as what it was, I tell you, they got things, certain kind of shots and things you could take that will knock pain out where you won't feel it. The worst the pain, it can knock it out, some of those drugs that they give you. And I'm telling you, that pain was knocked out for a while. And it came back like that once after that, but then after that, it didn't come back like that ever again. But I tell you, I've experienced some terrible, terrible pain right there. So I know what Minister Andura was saying as far as about the toothache, the pain there. And as she was talking on the phone, that was kind of dangerous to talk on the phone, especially if you're talking to somebody all the way from Africa. And even though you may have that device, you know, where you don't have to have your phone in your hand and things, still, it's the pictures that you get when you're talking to people. It's the picture. And if you're on the phone, and I'm not just, you know, in no kind of way to put Andura down. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that it's dangerous because, you know, when you're talking on the phone, especially if you're talking on the phone with somebody from Africa, and you're getting a picture of what they're saying, and especially if you haven't been to Africa. And when they're talking, because you can go into seeing what they're saying all the way back in Africa, and you can almost go back into Africa in your mind. And, you know, and if you're driving for a little while there, you're driving without really paying attention where you think you're paying attention, but you don't, because if you're into that conversation deep enough, you kind of get lost to your surroundings or lost to your environment because you're caught up in what you're saying and the picture you get in what someone is saying. This is what you see and this is what you're hearing, and you could get, you know, lost to your environment just for that, you know, 60 seconds or sometime even longer, you know, and you could be driving and really just be, is that God have to take over the wheel at that time, you know, to keep you from having accidents. But you were also talking about how beautiful the trees were and painting the picture of the trees, and I could see the beautiful green trees as you were talking, and beautiful birds and things, you know, flying in and out the trees and under the trees and all. You see the beauty of nature when somebody is talking or painting a picture before you in the pretty, pretty blue skies, and perhaps there's some white clouds in the sky, you know. And then when you know that the clouds is but dust up under his feet, you know, you just get a picture of things, and, you know, you just could get lost to your environment, like I said, because of you know how deep you be thinking. And sometimes it's good to think deep, and sometimes it's not good to think deep. But anyway, you know, I missed the message this morning. I wish I had heard it. But then I was listening at you, Apostle, about the tattoo you put on your body some time ago. You said about 50 years ago. That's a long time, 50 years ago. But 60 years ago, I remember putting a tattoo on me when I was about 11. May have been 51 years, 52 years, something like that, 11 or 12 years old. I still have it on me. I have that one on me, on my arm, where it's an aura that I have on my arm. And then I have a funk over the top of that aura. And that funk was, you know, we was a little part of a little gang, a little shuck time gang, no big gang, you know. And nothing into that mafia type of gang. No, this is just children in gangs. And had a little fork on my arm that, you know, all of them would put on their arm. But anyway, got that. And another tattoo on, a small tattoo on my thigh. And then I got another S on my arm with a couple of hearts around it on my left shoulder. On the arm, though, you know, part. And, you know, and that's about it, you know. But I was thinking about all of the tattoos that you were talking about that your granddaughter have. Well, I have a grandson. He's got tattoos on him. You know, he's playing basketball, and he got Trey, you know, like three-point shot. He's Ronnie the Third, so they call him Trey. So, you know, he got Trey. You know, you think he's a great three-point shooter, and different tattoos on him, and it you know, it made me upset it because even though I had tattoos, I know that the police and all, sometimes they identify you by tattoos. If somebody go out and do something and they got a tattoo on the same arm, you got a tattoo on and stuff, and sometimes they identify you as being the person, and it's hard to get out of things like that, especially if somebody look almost exactly like you. I've seen people, and you probably have too, all of you may have, saw people that look so much like people that you know that you actually took them for the person. I mean, I was getting off of a bus, and a young man was getting on a bus, and that's how close. I mean, if you're getting off the front of the bus, he's getting on the front of the bus, you know how close you are to that person. You coming down the stairs, you getting ready to come up, you know, and you're looking right in his face, and I say, what's happening, Spoon? You know, a good friend of mine, the guy said, what'd you call me? I said, wait a minute, this Spoon, huh? And the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know no Spoon. I said, oh, man, I said, I'm so sorry. I said, you look like a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and you look, you know, I mean, man, you look just like him. I said, I really took you, you know, for him, you know. But that's how close people can look. And I've saw that several times, people that look that much like people till I'm standing up looking right in their face talking to them, and it wasn't the person that I knew. And, I mean, I was seeing great at the time when I saw them. You know, my eyes have been off and on, you know, since I've been probably about 12 years old. I've been going out, coming in, going out. But, you know, this was times when I was able to see 20/20. I mean, I could see so clear, you know, I could see the little pimple on, you know, little bitty mole in somebody's face. I mean, I could see as good as anybody at 20/20 vision. And at times I would see these people and really think that that is the person when it was not. And I've even spoke to somebody and said, how you doing, Shirley? Matter of fact, I called her Cheryl. I said, how you doing, Cheryl? You know, we call Shirley Cheryl. And I was getting on the elevator. Me and my wife was getting on the elevator, and this lady was getting off the elevator. And I said, hey, Cheryl, how you doing? She had a pretty blue dress on. But anyway, I remember it just like I'm seeing her right now. And she spoke, oh, how you doing? So I'm thinking, look, nobody could tell me that was not Shirley. And on our way coming down from where we had went at, she was standing by the door waiting for her ride, you know, outside, waiting for her ride right by the door. And I was, you know, I said, okay, Shirley, I said, we see you later. She said, I'm not Shirley. I said, you're not, Shirley. I said, wait a minute. I said, you're not Nookie's wife? She said, Nookie? Who is Nookie? In other words, my wife and I both know Shirley Gooden. We both thought that was Shirley standing up there. Same size, same height, same color, same everything. But it wasn't Shirley. And, you know, my wife would tell you, we both thought that was Shirley, and it was not her. And, I mean, we know Shirley good. Matter of fact, that's my brother-in-law, sister. But it wasn't Shirley. It was not her. And so this has happened a couple of times. And so sometime through these tattoos, you could identify people, or sometimes people can get off because the person would say they had a tattoo on them, and then when you raise up the shirt or something, they don't have a tattoo. And they say this could not have been the person because the person had a tattoo. This person does not have a tattoo. One time, my barber, he's dead today, but my barber son, they said that he was involved in a triple killing. And the boy, you know, was swearing, though you're not supposed to swear, but he was swearing that he had nothing to do, that was not him. And he told his daddy, and he never lied to his daddy, never. You know, he never lies to his daddy. You know, they had that kind of relationship. Even if he had did something, he'll tell his dad. That's the kind of relationship they had. And his dad said, please, please tell me, son. Please tell me, son. Was you involved with those boys? And the boy was a good boy. He was not like that. But his daddy still had to ask him because that's the charge he had on him. You know, this triple murdering thing. He said, no, Dad, I was not. It was not me. I was not with whoever they said it was. You know, I was not one of them. And so come to find out, the lady who said that she witnessed the killing, she was in the store or wherever this was, she witnessed the killing. She said, yeah, he had a tattoo, such and such a place, had a tattoo. You know, that's him right there. And he's got a tattoo, you know. And the lawyer had him to take his shirt off in the courtroom. This was a trial going on. Had him to take his shirt off. There was no tattoo on Jones' son's body. That's my barber name, Jones. His son did not have a tattoo. Do you know they still gave that boy 400 years? They wanted to get somebody. This was in a place where the Ku Klux Klans are very, very strong in that area. I mean, the sheriff is the Ku Klux Klan. This is in a place in Louisiana called Covington, and they are really, really, matter of fact, the Grand Master of the Ku Klux Klan, I guess they have different grand masters, but he was a grand master, you know, and the sheriff and all these people, they all in together, you know, and come to find out, they convicted him, and you know, say he was one of them anyhow, because they did have a white boy that was the driver of the car, and they told the white boy if he identified this guy, if he say, you know, that this guy was a part of them, you know, he would get, you know, instead of having these life sentences and things, they would give him 10 years. He was the driver of the car. And, of course, he was going to say that it was the guy. Now, here this guy was charged with murder, didn't have the tattoo that the girl said he had, but the driver said he was definitely one of the ones that was in the car. It was a white boy with a couple of the black guys that this happened, but the white boy sat in the car. He was the driver. And so to get 10 years, that boy was charged with murder, and they gave him 400 years. And when John found out that his son had 400 years, it killed John. John didn't last for more than a year after that. A good barber in perfect health, but he died about a year after that. His son told him, Dad, I didn't do it. They got the wrong person. That it wasn't me. And John went to his grave. You know, that just tore him down, you know. But anyway, you're talking about the tattoos. But I want to say this, and then I'll be finished. Didn't have very much to do with the message because, like I said, I missed the message. And I know Pastor she always bring a powerful message. I miss it, but I know it was a good message. I wish I would have heard it. But anyway, you know, a lot of times the young people, they don't know. They see others, and others be getting those tattoos, and it gets to be a thing about they doing things what the other kids are doing, you know. And it gets to be like this, get to be a fad. It gets to be the you know, what's happening. It's just, you know, it's cool. You know, it's what we do, you know, me and my group, you know, my crowd. This is what we do. This is what we like. You know, this shows us that we are part of the crowd. You know, it may be, you know, very, very smart. They may be all smart. They may be all honor students, but it might be that this is something that they do to show forth that, you know, that this is the ones, you know, that I'll be with it, you know. And if you don't have this, you don't have this tattoo, then, you know, you're not with it. You're not what's happening. You're not what's going on. Not to say they're out there doing other things other than the tattoo and other than studying their lesson. But, you know, when we get in the scriptures and we begin to know better, and sometimes if we had known ahead of time, because a lot of time we don't know the scriptures, and sometimes our grandchildren don't know the scriptures like we know the scriptures. And so the Bible talks about, you know, the piercing of the skin and the, you know, the tattoos and all, and we that know the scriptures, we understand that. But if we could paint the picture to them before they get into that, but we don't have a clue that this is what they're doing with their bodies, you know. We don't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. My grandson had all them tattoos on him and thing, you know. And he's probably around her age. She may be 2 years or 1 year older than Jemai, you know. Jemai must be 19 or 20. But anyway, he, you know, he got the tattoos on him. But when you're into the scriptures, and if I knew he would have been getting into that, I would have been teaching on that and would have, you know, tried to open up the eyes of his understanding prior to that, you know, and began to show him in the scriptures about this and what the scriptures have to say about it, how that we shouldn't do these type of things, you know, carving in our skin for the dead or something, putting our parent name, a grandmother, or somebody that's gone on to the grave, you know, the piercing of the skin and, you know, that type of thing, then we could have painted the picture about, you know, our home, our houses. You know, we don't want nobody, you know, just coming, putting graffiti all over our homes, our houses. You know, well, it's the same thing with our bodies. The Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Well, you know, God is not going to destroy our children, our grandchildren, because we are praying for them. We're praying for them. And, you know, and a lot of time what they do, they do it ignorantly. But I've said that to say this, that, you know, we don't want nobody coming inside of our house, painting all on the wall, putting graffiti on the inside or the outside. So, you know, it's the same thing with God's house, our body. That don't belong to us. It belonged to him. He purchased us with his own blood. You know, we're not supposed to be putting these tattoos and graffiti. You know, you might see a type of graffiti, you know, on his house and thing, his home. You understand what I'm saying? If we could paint that picture to them and then show them what the Bible says, maybe, you know, we can stop them from going on and even getting more tattoos, because it gets to be like a drug. You get thirsty to put more and thirsty to put more and hungry to put more and more. You got people, and I know you all know of this, you got people that's got so many tattoos on them, you think that's their clothes they have on. They got so many tattoos on them, you think they have tights on. You know, because of all of it, I mean all over their body, everywhere, tattoos, face, head, top of the head, everywhere, tattoos, you know. And people get so obsessed with that and possessed with that, you know, that's a spirit, you know what I'm saying. And if we could catch them and paint the picture, you know, showing them what the scripture says, sometime we can intercept them before they go that far. But people, you know, it's like a drug. You know, you can't get enough. You can't get enough of it, you know. And so I've talked to Jemai. I talked to him over and over, and I don't think he's going to put any more tattoos on him. Last time a tattoo was brought up, you know, there was a young lady that gave him a job at a funeral parlor. And he saw a lot of dead bodies, a lot of young people coming in dead and thinking he saw them dead, and he saw tattoos that they had on them here and there because he, you know, that was the job he had one time, you know, working with, at one time, I kind of thought he was going to go into that and become a mortician, I believe that's what you call that. You know, I thought he was going to become that because that's what the lady was who hired him. I think she wanted him to become that. But he had to go back to school and thing, and then he got away from it and thing. So excited with his little uniform on, you know, the morticians all, you know, they have a certain thing they have to put on and thing. He had a certain uniform he had to put on. He loved these uniforms. Now he done got, you know, he's at a point now where he loved uniforms. Now he done got into something at school where they have to wear a uniform and, you know, and that they have to dress up in these suits. So he's got him another job. He's working with his dad now, but, you know, working to buy him some uniforms because he's into something that they really developing them to be, you know, some fine young men where they, you know, they got to stay dressed up because they always telling them that, you know, at school and around the campus, they're always being watched and being looked at, and, you know, and he set an example for others, and, you know, he's got to get the suits that he's wearing and different things. And so he's working for that now. You know, he's always been one that wanted to be a leader, you know, ever since a child. You know, you try to get him to line up with this and line up with that. He didn't want to line up with the other children. He wanted them to line up with him. You know, he's been like that since small. And so he's going to be some kind of leader there. I stopped him, and I'm going to say this, and then I'll be finished. I stopped him. He had, when he first went to school, because he's built, you know. He used to play football and thing as well. He's built. He's got these muscles and biceps and, you know, real, real built. He's not a big, big built person. He's a small built person. And he's not small. He's just that perfect size. And he's built. He's got muscles. You know, his muscles just stick out. You know, he's muscular, picking up all those weights playing football. But anyway, as soon as he got to the school, some kids wanted him to be a model. Right away, they talked to him about being one of the models and dressing, you know, with being a model and all. And the Holy Ghost, excuse me, the Holy Ghost began to tell me to warn him about that because a lot of homosexuals get into the modeling and thing, you know, modeling clothes and all of these different things. And I told him to beware of these homosexuals and things. I said, because the next thing you know, they'll have you modeling clothes and taking off clothes and putting on clothes. And next thing you know, son, if you don't watch it, you know, you know they'll try to draw you into homosexuality. And I told him that, and he began to be aware of that, and he realized that that's what they were trying to do. And so he got out of that. You know, he got out of that, and he started, you know, got away from that. Very, very smart, very, very bright student, you know what I'm saying? He got out of that because he can't stand, you know, homosexuality. He can't even stand to be around that. When he found out that that's what that was, they was trying to draw him into that. But he didn't got away from that, so thank God for that, you know. So he's very smart. And I have another grandson. He's at LSU. He's doing real good. They're honor students. I got a granddaughter. She's in an honor school. She's at an honor school, and her average is I think it's 4.0 or something. My wife is saying 5.0, 5.7. And yeah, I never did know too much about those points and whatever. But you know, to say that's very, very smart. She's already at an honor school. You have to be Hey, your grades got to be a certain, you know, you got to have certain grades to even get in that school. And she's in that type of school, and she's got a 5.0 or something average. So they tell me that's very, very, very good. And she's on the basketball team. She told me the other day, you know, she said, Papa, I didn't learn how to shoot. I know how to shoot 3-pointers. I said, well, that's good, you know. But anyway, these children, you got to really, 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 you know, you got to talk to them. And I know, Apostle, you probably talked till you was blue in the face, you know, and that's the way we do. But I taught my children. And so by me teaching my children teach their children, but they're not with them always. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's how Jemiah kind of got out there a little bit in these public schools. You know, so much is going on in the public schools. We don't have a clue of some of the things that's going on in the public schools and even in some of these Catholic schools as well, but especially in these public schools, there's so much that's going on now. Apostle, I hear you talking about these different guns, 9mm and different things like that. Here in New Orleans and some places else, probably Chicago and California, they got these Glocks now, Glocks, whatever they call them. I don't know about these guns, that they're turning into machine guns. And they're shooting so many rounds per minute, 60 seconds. I think they've been shot something like, I don't know if it's 1,100 or 11,000 rounds. In 60 seconds. That's a machine gun. They're turning Glocks into machine guns, and that's what they got. The guns that they got is more powerful and stronger than some of the guns that these police have. And a lot of police are scared of these youths. They're scared of these children. I'm telling you, they're scared of them in New Orleans because they driving cars, setting all out the windows, doing stunts with cars, and setting in the window while the stunts driving. I don't know how they on drive sitting in the window, unless one is driving and the other one is sitting in the window. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing stunts with these cars and things, fishtailing and stuff, making all these tire marks in the streets. And police be sitting there watching them and can't do nothing about it, you know, until they could get, I guess, some backup. And by the time backup come, they go. I mean, and these cars going so fast and stuff, the police can't hardly keep up with them, you know, and all these motorbikes that they're riding and zooming and making these motorbikes, they go down the street so fast, fishtailing in these bikes, going the back of the tire going from side to side, they be going so fast, and then they could stop them, or possibly could stop them, almost look like on a dime. In a little short area, they break it down. They be then broke them bikes down in a little bitty, you know, I mean, it's less than a third of a block, less than a third of a block. I mean, less than a third of a, just think about that. That's less than 50 yards. That's got to be within a 30-yard span. That is not that far, 30-yard span, going fast like that and break them bikes down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It could stop them like that without flipping over. They are taking so many chances out there. The youth is just, we got to pray for their minds. Their minds is just gone. I'm telling you, those games that they're playing, you know, the killing, the murder, the stealing police cars, and, you know, the stuff that's going on in those games, that it done got in their mind now. And it's hard to get it out of their mind. But that's just a little bit of what's going on, and it's terrible, you know. But anyway, I'm finished. You know, I just wanted to say that we really have a big, big job. You know, prayer, oh, my God, we got to pray. We got to pray. And probably, I know the Bible says pray without ceasing, but we're going to have to start really, really getting into serious prayer at least probably 5 to 8 times a day. Well, you know, I pray at least 3 good serious times a day, but I'm praying all during the day, but have to get in more prayer than that because it's so much needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. You shared us a whole lot. Are we thanking God? And like you're saying, the last thing that we truly have to get into more praying. I myself have to pray more. I pray a lot, but I got to pray more, because this stuff that's going on now really need us to put on the full armor of God. Talked about it yesterday, and we have to really operate in that realm of holiness even the more. And it called in for prayer to tear down these strongholds. I mean, God, they're coming. They're coming. The man said last night, this man prophesied in 2008. And I used to listen to him. I can't remember his name. I posted him out last night. I can't remember his name. He wrote a lot of books, a lot of books. And he prophesied in 2008 about this year. And he said that there's a storm coming. And the people are not prepared. He was saying back then that they need to get prepared. He talked about how the government was going to come, and he talked, and I got it, it's all on the tape. And he said that in 2008, he said how they was going to go against this thing that's going to be a fight against the Christians and the abortion and all this stuff that's going on. Everything this man prophesied was a true man of God. And right after then, he had made a lot of CDs recording future stuff. He died. And everybody was weeping for him. It was a big thing about him, because he was married for a long time like us, and he was serving God for a long time and was very versed in the Bible. And he would prophesy, and God would honor the prophecy that comes out of his mouth. And I was listening to him last night. I said, Lord Jesus, I used to listen to this man. I even preached some stuff that he sent me. I even preached some stuff talking about the Spirit. And I said, wow. And as this man spoke in 2008, it seems the things are happening right now. Right now. He even said it's going to get worse, that the storm that's coming, that we are not prepared for it, but it's coming. It has to come, because the Bible says so. But either way, I see Evangelist Brown just got on the line. Evangelist Cameron was talking about being thankful, and she really explained that very carefully, that there's so much that we have to be thankful for. She said, I've got reason to be thankful, you know, and I know I got reason to be thankful. I can't, it would take me all day to tell you all the things that I'm thankful for, you know, because when I look, every day I'm praising God, I'm glorifying God, because every day he gave me a chance to look into the window of my soul and see what he had delivered me from. I can go back and look into my mind's eye and see what God is doing. God, one time, I went to a funeral, went back. So Virginia, I went to a funeral, and this guy that was laying in the casket, he had a very fancy casket, and I thought I wanted to have what he had, but I didn't realize how bad it was, you know. But God loved me to see him in the casket, and God reminded me that he had kept me. So we were smoking the same place, the same nights, doing the same stuff, and God said, he kept me. Kept me from death for this day. But look at this man. He's in his casket. And he didn't believe in what I believe in, what we believe in. His wife was saved. She was praying for him all the time. But all he wanted to do was get high. All he wanted was act a fool. But God pulled me out. You know, everybody don't want to come out. They hear, but they don't want to adhere to the voice. You know, God calling them. You know, say, there you hear his voice, harden not your heart, like in the day of, when the people harden their hearts in the wilderness. You know, don't harden your heart. But I heard him. I said, well, I was tired, Lord. I'm not going to continue. You know, glory to God. So anyway, the line is open. Thank you so much, Apostle, I heard. And Pastor Joyce, we thank God for you all, and God bless you all, and continue to establish your ministry to declare the kingdom of God every time you preach. Glory to God, people will be drawn to the kingdom. The line is open.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor Ronnie Stewart, Pastor Campbell, and all the rest on the line. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. We're still here. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be alive. I just tell you, so much stuff that I heard Pastor Ronnie said. Praise God. So much stuff going on is unreal. We just have to stay focused on him. So I'm just thanking God that all is well here. Pastor Brown's doing good. We're doing good. And we so good to hear Pastor Calendar and all you all on the line, Deacon Frazier. It's a blessing. I'm just thanking God for everything that he's doing and everything he's going to do. It's a blessing to look at your family and to see them. They can hear their voice on the other end of the phone. I mean, it's just a blessing that we don't have to act like the world do anymore, praise God. Even though a lot of stuff is going on, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just thank God. Sometimes I get so filled up and I be saying, Lord, I just don't understand. I just never thought that I would be here in my 60s because the life that I was living. But he had another plan for us, Pastor. He took our name off of that hell board that that we was signed up for. So I just thank God for what he's doing in our lives. And my daughter's going to be 47 on Tuesday. So I just thank the Lord for her and thank the Lord for my grands and great-grands. I'm just thanking God. And we just have to turn everything over to Jesus. And I pray that all is well with you all on the other end of the phone. And we just got to pray for one another and do what thus saith the Lord, Pastor Campbell. And sooner or later, God knows everything about us. He made us. We, you know, one thing I thought about, I said, we have a birth date and we got a death date. But those of us that are dying in Christ, we don't die. Hallelujah. We die in him. It's a blessing. We have hope. We have hope beyond the grave. So every day that we see is a blessing. Every day that we get is a gift from God. So I don't take it lightly. I'm just thankful and grateful just to be here in the land of the living, even though so much stuff is going on. And my husband went to a funeral this week, and I heard some other people passed on. But nevertheless, we still have to keep going. We have to still pray for the bereaved families. You got to pray for all those that are going through stuff. You got to pray for ourselves. We have to keep in tune with Jesus. Hallelujah. I get excited when I think about where I could have been and where I should have been. I'm excited, Pastor. I'm thanking God for the victory that he's given me to stand on this last and evil day. So I want you all to pray for the Potter's Church of Christ. Pray for Pastor Brown. Let's pray for one another that we continue to grow strong in the Lord. Because I know it ain't over till God says it's over, and we just have to keep doing what we're doing. And thank God for Pastor Calendar and Sister Nancy Calendar and all the mothers. We celebrated Mother's Day. I thank the Lord for that. I'm just grateful.
Yeah.
And I know I didn't hear the message speaking, but we're supposed to be thankful each and every day because somebody didn't get up this morning. Somebody didn't see the sun shining through the window. Hallelujah. Praise our God. So I'm just excited to know that I can hear Apostle on the line and Apostle Ronnie Stewart and those I haven't heard in a long time, that we're holding the bloodstained banner up. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying. Keep believing. And we will receive. We will get 100,000-fold blessing from God. He said, cast your care upon him, for we care for thee. So that's all I just wanted to share with you all today. Just be encouraged. Run the race. The race was not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the one who endured to the end. So let's love on one another. Let's love our family. Just get closer to them. Let's check on them. That's all we can do. And say, I love you. You know, we're good to hear your voice on the other end of the phone. So I just thank God that we can be here on another beautiful day that we had nothing to do about. We didn't make it. We didn't know how to make it. But he allowed us. He woke us up in our right frame of mind. Some people got up this morning, but they was in the right frame of mind. People are still homeless outside. I see them every day. I see them every day when we go. They're on the corner begging for money. It's a sad situation that they can't wash their face. They're hungry. They have no shoes on their feet. It's sad. And we just have to keep praying that God is going to see us through, and we can help others when we get blessed in the financial department. Those that have money that we can, I heard Apostle said he wants to build houses in Africa. That's what you call love. And if we don't have the resources, you can't do it. But God is getting ready to turn some things around, Apostle. He's going to turn them around. He's going to turn them around. Sure as my name is Carol Brown. He's going to do some things for us. All we got to do is be faithful, Deacon. So I want to say God bless you. I love you all. Pastor Campbell, keep preaching. Keep
keep doing what thou say to the Lord. You will get your reward. Payday is coming after a while. Amen, amen, and amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's right, that's right, that's right. We're going to have our blessing. It shows my name is David. We're going to have
right.
it.
That's right.
Soon and soon. And it looks like it's right at the it looks like he's right at the threshold. My
yes,
God,
sir.
All I
thank
got
you.
To reach on pick
you.
It up. I know that it's coming.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You go on YouTube,
hallelujah,
you can
sir.
Look and see and you can
yeah.
hear what they're saying about it. So we know we're gonna get
yeah.
it. It just goes just a matter of time because it's not gonna happen
hallelujah.
If God says so, but we know we're gonna get it because God says so. It's happening. He says it's happening. Hallelujah, God. We are excited. And we're gonna do what we promised the Lord. That's why we do as much as we can do now with what we have. Because if you were faithful with a little, he'll make you ruler over much. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So we are faithful with the little that we have. Hallelujah. So I know God gonna make me ruler. He's going to make us ruler over much more. I know this because that's his word. He can't go against his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the line is open. Anyone that wants to encourage Evangelist Campbell, you can. You can come on in. If not, she's going to pray us out. So the
Amen.
Line is open.
Amen. 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 Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord, Apostle. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord. We want
pray
to
the
thank
Lord,
God.
Brother
Deacon. We want to pray the Lord, each one of you. Thank God. Pray the Lord on you. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad it is. We thank God that it's a blessing to be alive. And, you know, I think about the songwriter. He just said, I am a testimony. I'm glad I'm still, thank God, I'm still alive. Thank God. See another Saturday. I thank God to see another Saturday. I'm thankful. Be glad to be here. Thankful. Be glad to be here. Be glad to be in this service one more time. And we just thank the Lord. I could be somewhere else, but I thank God nothing else to serve him, serve the Lord. So the blessing is coming in their way. He's coming. The blessing is coming. And we have to know, thank God for what. See, I am thankful that I got a family. Thankful that I got a father still living, still around, still going stronger. I just thank God, thank him for what he have done. Thank God to have a father. Thank God for what I heard on the word on today. Thank God to hear. Always glad to hear a chance to hear your voices again, hear you, and who ain't heard in a while. I just thank the Lord for what he has done. Even though they wanted to turn that against us, we got to know, we got to keep on thanking the Lord. Give God a praise. Thank him for what he has done. Because he has done so much in everyone's lives. Yeah, you know, even though that when we all are blessed, we all are blessing the city. We're blessing the field. When we come, where we go. You know, the book of the Romans, he tells us that we all are blessed. He tells us that we all are blessed. And we ought to be thankful that we still can move around. We got legs to walk. We got eyes to see. We got hands to feel. We got air to breathe. We got mind to think. And we got a tongue to talk. Thank God. We all be thankful that he blessed us to keep us in our right mind. And I'm just thankful, glad to be here, glad to be here. Open my mouth, give God a praise, no matter how bad it is, no matter I know what it seems like, no matter how bad when a person turned that against you, when they say, it don't take all that. Well, let me tell you something. It does take all that to praise the Lord. It take all that to give God a praise and be thankful that we are here. We ought to be thankful that we here. We ought to be thankful that I'm thankful that I got a mother. I thank God that that she's still around. She's still here. I thank the Lord for her. I thank the Lord that she's still here. Still is here, well, in the land of the living. I just thank the Lord for that. I thank God for it. Thank God for her to be, not because being my mother, I thank God being a friend. I just thank God for her. I thank God that does, like you said, we just celebrated Mother's Day last week, and we'll be thankful that my heart goes out to the mothers out there that's trying to be the mother they can with their children, try to raise their children. I saw this on the news. I look at it. I see this. You know, my heart goes out to the mothers out there that they're trying to do the best they can to raise their children, and we have to know though they're trying to be a mother, that those that want to be the mother, and we be ought to be happy, be glad that we'll be happy and glad that he kept us, that he doing wonderful thing. And I remember the time when I was like, when we were all growing up, we were in their footsteps the same way. They fed us, they cleaned us when we was growing up the same way. We were in their footsteps the same way. But we all be thankful that we are here. That we are here. You know, even though my how what it seemed like, I thank God that thank God for the blessing. How he.
That's some orange juice.
And we just thank the Lord. I just thank God that what he doing on this trust line. I thank God what he will continue to do, and what he will do on this trust line. He started 010, like he's going stronger. He gonna continue to bless more, 11 more years to come. He gonna do more blessings. Blessings coming. Blessings still coming. Nobody even know that those that turn the back against the church line, we still gonna keep on going on and on for the word of God. The word of God is all about Jesus. This God's line. Everything belongs to Jesus. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to Jesus only. It only belongs to Jesus. That's who belong to. Yeah, let the word. Yeah. Took the word, man of God. He is his servant. Use the man of God, because we all the ministers come and minister on the word of God. Use them, that we used them before, because everything belongs to Jesus. Because everything belongs to God. This everything was all about Jesus. It's all about God, not about us. It's all about Him. We got to praise the Lord. We got to keep on praising Him, no matter what. We got to keep on give God a praise, even when they look at us crazy, look at us upside our head, look at us like we outrageous. I don't mind being outrageous for Jesus. I don't mind being praised for Jesus. I don't mind being praised for the Lord. Because no matter what it seems like, I don't mind being praised for Jesus. You give him all the praise, no matter what. We got to keep on. I prayed for the Lord. I really truly thank God for what he is doing. He's doing wonderful things. Yes, I will be on tonight, like I was on last night. For those that want to come and give God a praise, those that want to come and lift up the name of Jesus, well, here's this conference call number. That number is 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. And the access code is 308587#. Again, 308587#. And the time is at 8:15 to 9:45 Central Time. Once again, it's 8:15 to 9:45 Central Time, 5 o'clock on the West Coast. Come and give God a praise. Come give God a testimony, whatever's on your heart. give a song or a scripture or whatever on your heart. Give a song or whatever on your heart. And maybe you give your church announcement or prayer line announcement, because we come and lift up the name of Jesus. Everything belongs to Jesus only. So I say I thank God for a powerful word of God. I thank God for you, woman of God, that what woman of God within you, let the Lord continue to keep you. Let God continue to do works in your life, because your blessing is coming. Because you haven't seen nothing yet, woman of God. So keep on. Stay on the wall for Jesus. That goes to each one of us. Keep on keeping on. Stay on the wall for Jesus. I just thank the Lord for a word I heard on today. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what I heard in the name of Jesus. I'm just really truly thankful that I had a chance to come and make a comment, even though I don't say anything. I don't say much, but I thank God I come when I can come to the call. And I'm just thankful where he brought me from, where I used to be. You know, I remember the time that I couldn't say a whole lot. I couldn't say nothing. But God really, it was God that really brought that out of me. I really thank God for that. Because, you know, it was only with Jesus. It ain't nothing what I've done. It's all about what Jesus have done. I'm really, truly thankful for that. Thank God for that. So we just say, I just thank God on the word, what I heard on today. It was a blessed word. May God continue to bless you all, and may God continue to keep all lifted up in prayers, and mother in prayer. We just want to lift up everyone all over the world, all over the United States of America, because, you know, it's getting worse out there these days. It's getting bad out there. We just got to pray for one another. We just got to keep on praying. We just got to cry out to the Lord. Got to cry out more to the Lord. We got to cry out more to the Lord, because it's too much happening in this world. Ain't no time to play with God's word. But God is not a plaything that you could play. He not a plaything. We just got to keep on if we really mean it from our heart.
You can phrase it. Is my line open? Okay, my line must be open. Thank you, Deacon.
Man. God bless you all in the name of Jesus. We pray. I'm done. God bless you all. Amen. God bless you, Apostle.
God bless you, Brother Deacon. God bless you. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit praises his holy name. Even death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, he is Lord. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit praises his holy name. Even death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, he is Lord.
Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for every response that we have heard today, Lord. We ask you to bless those that respond and bless those that didn't respond, God. We ask, Father God, Lord God, that you move with us and continue to lead and guide us, carry us through this day, O God, and let us go in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, O God, as we go forth today. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless Apostle Stewart, O God, and Pastor Joyce Stewart as they minister your truth to your people, O God, in the morning. Lord, we ask you to continue to give Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown a sound word for sound people. Lord, we just pray in this day, God, that Father God, that you touch, O God, Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington there, fixing up their house, oh God, from where their son had tore up the house. But Lord, we know, God, you have given them supernatural favor, Lord, that they were able to get accomplished what they need accomplished. Lord, the people are working on the floors today. And, oh, God, next week they're going to be doing the bathrooms, replacing what he has messed up. But, God, we just thank you, Lord, because you're a God of favor. You're a God of mercy and grace, oh, God, that you give us what we don't deserve, oh, God, and you give us what we need, Lord. I just thank you right now, God. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, we just bless your holy name. We ask you, God, to continue to touch the President of the United States of America, touch the Vice President, the Congress, the Senators, the Supreme Court, Justice Department. Lord, we ask you to touch India, touch China, touch Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran, and Pakistan, Lord. Touch Israel, touch Jerusalem, touch Germany, touch France, Lord. Touch Italy, Lord. We ask you to touch Denmark, touch, oh God, Amsterdam. Lord, we ask you to touch, oh God, the Fiji Islands, Lord, the Philippine Islands. Touch, oh God, Brazil, touch the Caribbean, Lord. Oh mighty God, we ask you to touch all those, touch Ukraine, touch Russia, Lord, touch all those in the political offices, oh God. We ask you to touch the mayors and touch, oh God, touch the mayors and all those that are in positions, oh God, the local magistrates, the police department, the fire department, Lord, the housewives, the house husbands. Lord, we ask you to touch our children and touch the teachers, Lord. Lord, we ask you, oh mighty God, to come back evil, Lord. Is raising this ugly head, but we know that righteousness and holiness stands above all, even as the preacher said this morning, that Jesus stands above all. And Father, we thank you right now. We glorify your name. We honor you, Jesus, for your omnipotent presence, your omnipresence, your awesome anointing, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you touch the worshipers, oh God, those that worship, oh God, and lead us and bring us before the throne of glory. Oh, Father, touch the intercessors, oh God, that they would intercede even the more, God, giving the word burning in their belly, oh God, to intercede, oh God, for the lost, intercede for those that are still in sin, intercede, oh God, for those that live in, oh God, contribute to your word. Father, we are praying today, Lord God, that you continue to stretch out your hands over the United States of America. Lord, Abraham said, if you find 50, will you destroy the city? Have my God. Lord, if you find 10, will you still destroy, Lord? You wouldn't fight. There weren't 10 righteous people, but Lord, we know we have more than 10 righteous people that are living for Christ, oh God, living, oh God, to live again in the United States of America. So, Father, we lift up your name right now. We lift up the name of Jesus right now, Father, and we ask you, oh God, to let the blood that never loses first estate, oh God, cover the United States of America. Protect us, oh God, Lord God, from going down that steep hill that with no return. But Lord, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you keep us from falling down the hill, oh God. Lord, hold us back, oh God, and draw us back to you. For you said no one can come except you draw them. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God, that you draw us back to our first love, oh God. Draw us back, oh God, and give us that hunger and thirst for righteousness, oh God, that when we come back, when we get back to that place, oh God, that we'll want to stay in that place, oh God, worshiping and praising and bowing down before you, Lord God. Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that you're covering us even right now, God. You're covering sickness, God. You're covering cancer, Lord God. You're covering lupus, oh God. You're covering gout, oh God. You're covering emphysema. You're covering the blind eyes, the deaf ears, the dumb tongue, Lord. You are covering right now the crippled legs, God. You are covering right now. In the name of Jesus, the blood is covering, the blood is healing, the blood is opening, the blood is, oh God, the blood, oh God, is making a way, oh, right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing hearts, healing arteries, oh God, open the blood, the clogged arteries right now, open them in right now. Those that are suffering with breast cancer, Lord, we speak against it right now, and we command that breast cancer to dry up, oh God, that those that have emphysema, those that have, oh God, leukemia, oh God, we cause that cancer to, oh God, that cancer to dry up, lung cancer, oh, colon cancer, prostate cancer, Lord, we come against brain cancer, or any form, eye cancer, esophagus cancer, Lord, we come against it, every form of cancer, Lord, we come against right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we declare, God, in the name of Jesus, and we decree in the name of Jesus that you are the healer, that you are Jehovah Rapha, you are the one that healeth, oh God, and you said if we call, you would answer, that you would show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. So we are calling today, we are calling in the name of Jesus for Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah
Piscanu, Jehovah Elion, oh God, Jehovah Shemua, Lord, we're calling right now, yes, Lord God, for you to show in our situation, oh God, it's a problem to us, but it's just a situation to you. God, we ask you to show up in our situation, oh God, and make it right for us, oh God, that we can stand up and be a testimony, oh God. We want to be a testimony for the Lord, oh God, that we were shared, that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we no longer love our life unto death. God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are trying the spirit this morning, oh God. We are trying the spirit. See if it's of God. Yes, Lord, we are trying the spirit, as the woman of God said this morning. Oh, Father God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning that you have given us eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see, and spiritual ears to hear. That, oh God, a tongue, oh God, that has been touched by the coals of the altar. Oh God, that we will speak only what thus says the Lord. Father, we thank you today. We praise you and we glorify you. Bless our children. Bless our mates, oh God. Bless our sons and daughters. Bless our grandchildren. And our great-grandchildren, Lord, we ask you today, Lord, we ask you to cause the teachers to take a stand, that they would not teach this stuff that they want them to teach about satanic stuff, and allowing the satanic orders to come into the schools now and teach the children about Satan, and allowing the, oh God, the transvestites to come in, the transgenders to come into the school and teach the children, telling them that it's okay. Oh my God, I ask, Father God, that you begin, oh God, to stand, cause the people of God, the women of God, the men of God to stand up and take a stand for righteousness, take a stand for holiness, oh God, not against the people, but against sin, oh God, because we love all people, God. You see, you love all the people. You said all souls are yours, but the soul that sinned shall die. So we got to stand for righteousness, stand for holiness, stand, oh God, against that sin that wants to destroy the souls of the people of God. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you order our steps continually in the word, and that you let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh God, we are praying right now. We are praying right now, oh God, for you to energize us, oh God, energize us, fire us up, oh God, that we become on fire, burning, not going out, oh God, that the light will shine in darkness, and that men and women will see and come to the light, oh God, to find Jesus. Oh Father, we pray this morning, Jesus is not lost, but never come, so that Jesus can deliver them. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, because you are the great high priest. We ask you, oh God, to watch over us, watch over our tongues, oh God, that we speak that which will hurt, oh God. Help us to speak that which will edify, glorify, and terrify the enemy. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now we leave this line, but not to your presence. So God, we ask that you bless us. Bless us going and bless us coming. God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail. That you set us above and not beneath. That you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Father, we're praying even right now that you will bless us so that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us. Oh God, that we can bless the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans. Oh God, Father, help us. Oh God, we think we're crying out here in America that we don't have this. Some shelves still have some stuff on it. But in a lot of places in Africa, the chefs don't have anything at all on them. Hallelujah, I've seen the chefs. They don't have anything on them. Glory to God in India. They tell me that they're suffering. Pastor called me the other night and says, help them out, help them out. Glory to God. And we cry. We still have some stuff on some of the shelves, but they don't have anything on the shelf. Matter of fact, if they even find something on the shelf, they can't purchase it. They don't have the funds. Pastor called me yesterday and bought me yesterday from Nairobi. He said it's bad all over the world. He said, but it's even worse here. Even the rents, the people are doubling up on the rents. The landlords are doubling up on the rents because they say it's hard for them. And they don't care, because once they raise the rent, somebody wants the place. Whoever can afford it wants the place. And sometimes there's two or three families renting one little apartment. Two or three families. Just so they can survive. But we pray God bless us financially so that we can really do what we call to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you said, Jesus said, you give them the word, but they need some food. Peter said, send them away. Let them go get some to eat. Jesus said, not so. Look around, see a little boy with two loaves of two fish and five loaves of bread. And guess what he did? He reached up and prayed and multiplied them, because it wasn't enough to take care of the people. They were getting the word. Jesus was evangelizing. But the people was hungry. And that's what God has called us to do. We give them the word every day on Blog Talk Radio. Somebody preach the word. Somebody teach the word every day. But the people need food. And God's going to make a way for us to send them what they need to get food.
It shows my name is David Callender. But I love you guys so much. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak into somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. And might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. Jesus knows that all of us still have some bad works that are laying dormant. But he said, don't let that stuff come up. Let the good stuff come up that people will see. And they would want to come to Jesus and allow Jesus to touch them and set them free. I love you guys so much, but remember, God loves you more. Have a blessed evening and a safe evening. If you get a chance, just go on with Deacon Frey tonight and let's have a good time. I was on there last night with him and Mother Grant. We had a good time until I had to get off. God bless you all. God bless you all. Take care of your family, and I pray your family take care of you. Let's take care of each other. Help each other in this walk that we are walking. God bless. Bye-bye.
And God bless you. Love you guys.